Let's welcome everybody in. March 25th. It's a Monday. We're inching ever so closer to the Stanley Cup playoffs. What, 4 weeks?
Yes.
Maybe?
Yes. We're getting there now. April 17th is the Leafs' last game. Today's March 25th, so we're getting there.
That's the voice of Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and James Wilson. Wilson! Wilson!
Jimmy Willie.
That's a good Wilson. Good Wilson call.
Nick Kiprios. We are live and in color on Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus from 4 to 6. And download us when you can't catch us live on your favorite pod. And text us 590-590. Don't probably get to them as much as we would on Off the Rails Friday, but if they're good, Sammy's waiting.
Gotta catch Sammy's attention.
I watched so much sports this weekend. Just a sickening amount of sports.
Is that unusual for you?
Give us the heads.
No. I just watch. It's all I do. Yeah. So much sports.
How fast did you leave Friday to get to your Owen?
Oh, that was on Thursday.
That was Thursday?
Yeah, I went out there.
So
I got there with 5 minutes left in the first period.
Yeah.
So that was fine. So I watched the whole game. They lost that game, the attack.
They did.
And then on Saturday, they needed a win to get to 30 for the 13th straight year, which only the London Knights have ever done in CHL history. And they blew a third period lead and lost in overtime and didn't get to the record.
Sitting on 29 wins.
Devastating. At least we didn't draw London in the first round.
Oh,
so
okay.
No, it's Saginaw in the first round, who's also probably going to end things quickly. But at least it's not London. At least I don't have to have all of Leafs Nation pulling up clips of Easton Cowan going globetrotter on my beloved attack. So that's good. But the March Madness. Mackenzie Hughes was in the mix at the Valspar for a little while there. Canada Soccer had a big game. TFC. Toronto Maple Leafs.
Huge.
Buddy, I was just...
Your wife must be disgusted by you.
My wife doesn't even like hanging out with me. Like, she has plans. She goes out with her friends. I'm just like, sports time again.
And you just recently got married.
Oh, yeah.
just wait 25 decade, years from now.
Oh.
See how that relationship works out.
We'll see. Anyways, it's a great weekend, boys.
We left Friday's show really, I don't know if we built it up. The Saturday night game against Toronto and Edmonton, and we're going to break down everything that happened on the weekend. But did it hold what you thought it would be in terms of a measuring stick? Because, listen, I know we did the game last night. We know that the Leafs lost. But I got to tell you, overall for the weekend, I didn't think it was a bad weekend at all for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean... You can't say it's only a measuring stick game when you lose, you know, like when you go out there and you measure up well and you're with, you know, missing some important pieces. There is more times now where I'm watching the Leafs play where I like things beyond just the core, which is a little unusual. You know, earlier in the season, there's a lot of fuss about how they score 60% of the team's goals. It's down to 50. There's more to like right now about these Toronto Maple Leafs.
Pretty good.
I want to be careful here.
Oh, boy.
But I definitely feel a lot more optimistic about the Toronto Maple Leafs today than I would have told you I feel like heading into the weekend. Like, I'm not all the way there, but I do feel like those are two. I mean, Sunday night, it's clearly, last night's clearly a bit of a scheduled loss. There's a lot of things not to like, but you see Joel Wall's performance in that game that gets you dreaming. The game against their sort of pseudo rivals, but they're not obviously conference rival or whatever, but they just played so well in that game for most of it. I don't know. I agree with you, Kipper. It was a good feeling weekend. And the Oilers thing, I know we're going to get a lot more of this in the National Hour, but if you can't say that you think the Oilers are going to win the Cup and say that the Leafs can't win the Cup. Okay? I think they are way more similar than people give them credit. And everyone's always like, the big contending Oilers and the crappy little Leafs that can never win anything. It's like, they're pretty similar to me.
Prior to Saturday night, I don't know the exact record, but the Oilers were at 39-9, I think.
They've been hot, for sure.
Oh, no, that's not hot.
They've been hot.
That's really good.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
But I'm not going to completely dismiss your thought process that the Oilers, maybe on the weekend, it showed that they're less than perfect, right? We saw some holes this weekend from the Edmonton Oilers. And the Leafs have made some traction here, either through the trade deadline. Edmondson, as we saw Saturday night, helped give them a better look, one that Brad Treliving was hoping for. Didn't get the perfect, probably, trade deadline for himself, but he got bigger, he got tougher, and it showed Saturday night.
Yeah, I would say that was Saturday's storyline. I think a lot of people, you know, you don't overstate that or whatever, but it was unique to see the Toronto Maple Leafs take it to another team's group of stars.
This is cross-checking.
Yeah, there was lots. That's a great drop. There was a lot of that out of the Leafs, and obviously getting Draisaitl off his game was a nice play from Edmondson. Frustrated Darnell Nurse at some point too. And then you get Bobby McMahon, scores a couple. Pontus Holmberg scores a couple, and it just feels like there's pieces, and it hasn't all come together. You know, that game, it came together very well. We haven't seen exactly what it's going to look like with a healthy Marner and a healthy Yarncroc and all these other pieces contributing, but you can definitely dream on a lineup now. You're like, all right.
Yeah, that's part of it that's impressive too. Like, they did it on Saturday night without Marner, mm-hmm. without Yarncroc, without Labushkin. Right? Did he play Saturday? Or no, he did play.
Bertuzzi was out on Sunday.
Bertuzzi was out on Saturday. He played last night. Right. They didn't have TJ Brody for, you know, their own choice, but he's supposed to be one of their best guys. Mm. And you go out there and you'd smoke one of the quote-unquote contenders in the NHL. So,
okay, let's go to Sheldon Keefe with his thoughts Saturday night facing the firepower of the Edmonton Oilers.
I thought our guys just competed hard tonight. You know, I thought we played with lots of attitude. You know, I really thought that our defense, you know, in particular Edmondson and McCabe, I thought really set the tone for our team here tonight. Just how they competed, and our penalty kill gave us life in the game. In that first period, special teams, you know, we've been talking lots about that, and I'm sure it'll come up again here as the third period. But we're not in the position that we are. We don't get it done. In the first period, with the kills, especially the first one.
Hey, listen, we've covered a lot of Leaf games in the last 3 years, and I can't recall seeing a game like Saturday nights where you saw Leaf players targeting the opponent's best players. And I'm talking like the best in the world in Connor McDavid. Like, they went after him. There's no second thoughts from Joel Edmondson in terms of pushing, shoving, giving it to Connor, not thinking about repercussions, not looking over his shoulders. Like, I thought it was fantastic.
Turn your mic on.
You like that piece, Ed?
Oh, yeah. I'm like, how refreshing is that for a Leaf fan?
Yeah. It's funny, too, because, you know, I don't think anyone looks at Edmondson and goes, this guy is, you know, unbelievable. He's going to be this, that, or the other thing in the playoffs. But if he's that, kills penalties and makes people mad and throws some extra cross checks, it's nice. It's nice that the Leafs could have a back end that could at least make some forwards go, God, my ribs hurt today. Yeah. Maybe I don't want to stand in front of the net.
Like, I think last year, Dubas brought in Shen, and Shen was a awesome player for the Leafs. And I loved him and, you know, made the Luke's Troops joke, and I was one of the guys. I loved him.
Yeah.
But I don't think he is outright dirty like Edmondson is.
Yeah.
Edmondson, to me, just feels like a dirty hockey player, and I love it. Like, it's not like I'm saying that in a negative way.
Yeah.
Like, that was just abuse on Draisaitl.
I'm thrilled.
That one in the corner, and he just hammers him twice. They get in there's a full-on Donnybrook with all the stars on the ice, like, and he's involved. He's the guy at the top of it. I got to say, he's winning Leaf fans over. He is quickly becoming a fan favorite with Leaf Nation.
What a beast.
Let's go to clip four on Edmondson and McCabe.
Edmondson won. McCabe had one, I think, on Kane as well. But it wasn't even just the contacts. It was the level of competitiveness on the puck, like the battles to come up with the pucks. A lot of that on the penalty kill, face-off scrums, all those kind of things where we're coming up with pucks. And that's what we need. We're, you know, when we make those decisions to play that way and compete like that, you know, we're a hard team to beat, and we're capable of great things.
Oh, it changes the complete dynamics of the Leafs for me. Mm-hmm. If that level of consistency can hold.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't see any reason it can't. What I do like, Kip, is like, you know, they had Brody out for a couple games in a row there, and you didn't feel like there was a guy in the lineup who can't play in the league. And so I think that means in playoffs, if anyone is struggling, you feel like they can go to their seventh guy and even their eighth guy and pretty, you know, still feel the decor that is pretty acceptable. I know they don't have who Colorado has or Vegas has or even Carolina has at the top end of the back end, but they're, you know, they got a lot of fives, you know, a lot of guys who are physical fives. And I think that at least if they can keep it simple, you can see a world where they can get the puck out enough to help the forwards.
Absolutely. Like, and it's just, you know, that was a huge game on Saturday night. And with all the buildup with what, you know, the talking about Zach Hyman, saw Willie Nylander say that he's not getting it tonight. Like, that might as well be the Messier guarantee from him. He's never said anything interesting.
That was,
like,
a competitive thing to say.
Oh, my God, I can't believe he said that. Like, yeah. It was nothing, basically. But yeah. I just, for them to come out and respond like that in a game like that, that's what playoff games are like. They have a ton of buildup. They have a game where, like, you look forward to it, and everybody talks about it, and it's a big event. And you come out and play that greasy and that aggressive and that well, yeah, makes you feel, yeah, good. It does.
Mm-hmm. And we're gonna get I'm gonna get your thoughts on Holmberg and McMahon, but and I mentioned this on the
show.
You might
be right about McMahon.
Wow, listen, just hold on for a second. I said this on the telecast last night. We covered Carolina and the Leafs, and Max Domi passes the belt. Could have easily given it to Holmberg or McMahon for their multiple goals, but he hands it to Edmondson. And that's the one thing about Max, is that, you know what stood out for Max for me in the last month, month and a half, is everything he says, everything he does is kind of inclusive. Like, it's all about bringing the guys in, saying the right things to bring in that closeness, that competitiveness, yep, that the team needs moving forward. Maybe it's so noticeable because it's been lacking,
yeah,
all these years. And not that, you know, I mean, we can look at the leadership group in many ways, and there's some things that we've liked in the past from this group, and there's some things that we haven't liked. But this guy is consistent in his message sending. Everything isn't about me or I, it's we, or I don't have a discussion with you at all.
No, and you know what, I said this to you yesterday, that it feels like he's the bridge between Team A and Team B. Mm-hmm. Like, it's almost like, you know, Matthews and him are pals. Sounds like they, like, hang out at the back of the plane and, you know, do their thing. They have a relationship. They seem to like playing with each other. Matthews passes it to him.
It passes to him a lot.
A lot. You know, so it feels like they've, like, welcomed this other guy into their team.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, with the way McMahon's rolling, who they also seem to really like, and Holmberg, Matthews calls him his favorite player at times, mm-hmm, you know, and Marner did too. It almost feels like you can kind of, it feels like there's more connection between the groups, and you're not just a team of four guys. And I think Max deserves a lot of, yeah, credit for being the first guy to sort of create that bridge.
What'd you think about his fight?
He punched that guy in the head.
Everything
a lot
he does keeps me at the edge of my seat.
Yeah.
Earlier in the season, it might have been a turnover.
Yeah,
but he's
right,
limited those.
He has.
He's making better decisions. Yeah. And everything out there, he's got that edge, yeah, that I don't know. He could make an amazing pass. He could get into a fight. He could have a long conversation with somebody that ends with a lot of FUs. I mean, whatever the case is,
he could still have a whoopsie doodle with the puck. He can do a lot of stuff that gets your attention.
Quite unpredictable.
Yeah.
And I like that.
Well, better predictability in a positive way for in sure the last 2-3 weeks, Samuel.
I just mean like unpredictable in terms of a good play, a fight.
Yeah.
Throwing somebody to the ground.
You were the one before the season started that said, you mentioned he was going to be a fan favorite, but the other thing you said is, how long before he gets suspended?
Yeah, the wires cross.
The wires cross.
You know what's really interesting is we had a board yesterday, and I don't have the exact stat with me, but Domi is like fifth in the NHL, oh yeah, in 5-on-5 primary assists. It's like David, McKinnon, like it's the big dogs, and then Max is right there. So his direct setup to Holmberg is a great
guy. I have it. It's, yeah, yeah. Number one is McDavid with 48, 2, Kucherov, 39, Nathan McKinnon, 3, Leon Draisaitl, Tim Stützle, Max Domi tied with Quinn Hughes for 5-on-5 assists this season.
You know, and he hasn't had a ton of power play.
He doesn't get to play on the power play.
Right,
so
all his creation. It's like Alex Kerfoot when he was getting points, you know. It's
Is there any
except a different element?
Is there any part of Sheldon Keefe when Domi fought that he wasn't just happy for him firing up the crowd, that he didn't have to put him out there within a suddenly 2-goal lead?
Put him in the D zone. I don't know. Maybe could be.
All right. Before we get your thoughts on Holmberg and McMahon, let's go to Sheldon Keefe's on clip 3.
Both guys were terrific tonight. Obviously, I felt Holmberg, had some good things going on, which is why I moved him up to play with Austin, and that paid dividends right away. But he was just good all game, and second goal is another great goal and great finish by him. Bobby's, as we know, has been excellent here, and he finishes some great plays again tonight. But I thought throughout the lineup, I just thought we had great efforts.
Yeah. The McMahon thing is fascinating. He's up to 13 goals. I want to say 11 in the past couple months.
McJesus.
His, like, in goals for per 60 on the Leafs, it's Matthews, McMahon, Nylander, I think. Like, he's throwing it in the net a lot here.
Yeah.
Is this a flash in the pan type of thing, or how much can they use this guy up the lineup?
Right now, a lot.
Yeah.
Listen, there is something called a sophomore jinx.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point he's going to cool off, and I don't know what this means moving forward, but right now he's feeling it.
The juice is good, eh?
There's an expectation from him now that it's no longer of if I can do it, but when I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
When he's out on the ice. What are you all giggles about? You think I'm...
I think you're going to bring it up and be like, what a horrible contract.
No. Listen, it's a side note. Okay, it's not a major story here.
I'm starting to come over to your side. He looks like, I mean, he obviously will have cooled down, but I think something flipped for him in terms of confidence.
There's only upside.
Yes.
It's not.
Buddy, Pierre Engvall just got 7 times 3.
I think the Leafs.
Who'd you rather have at that?
Oh, my God.
I think the Leafs told him he was a restricted free agent. I think that's what happened.
Yeah. My stuff.
Yeah. But. Only upside, like Mason Marchment. If I would have told you Mason Marchment was going to make $4 million one day, you guys would have looked at me like I had three heads.
Yeah. Yes,
absolutely
right.
Would have done that.
Agreed. Okay? Yeah.
But there's only upside for these guys that just kind of can hold it. But, hey, he wanted the security. Brad Treliving could sense that or smell that and say, hey, here it is, guaranteed, one way,
buddy.
Take it.
Yeah.
And he did. So that's on him.
Smart.
Move forward here. And
yeah, he didn't take a 5-year deal at that number.
The best scenario for Leaf fans is if this guy really regrets signing this.
Yeah, of course. You'd mm-hmm. love that. You'd right? love a lot of regret.
So, but they're such key guys. Holmberg and McMahon, I wrote this in my article in the Toronto Star last week, that like they won't go anywhere without them.
Yeah.
They have to be that secondary group of guys that gets hot at the right time, that call them an unsung hero. You want to get past the first round and maybe make some noise to a conference final? These guys have to be it.
But I've said this for years, that down your lineup, give me 27-year-olds, like prime-age guys who work and are trying to prove something, whatever. Joe Thornton ain't it, or Jason Spezza, or, whatever hangers-on you still have. You can't have a bunch of rookies. I understand these guys are technically rookies, but they're not young rookies. They're not 21-year-olds breaking into the league. They've been playing pro hockey. Holmberg included has been playing overseas. I love where they're at in the lineup, and I feel like you could get a pop in a game. I never felt like the Leafs could get pop in a game.
It's a different
down there.
It's a different strategy. Like we always talk about Team A and Team B. This is definitely a very different strategy for Team B than they've had in years past.
It's not a strategy. You're just painted in a corner. They're there because you had no other options but to get low-paying guys, and you try to maximize when you can lean on them the most. The good news is, to JB's point, is they're not 22 or 23, still green. They've got some seasoning, but unfortunately, it's not NHL playoff seasoning. They've never played before.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing
but it's
you
not going to be up to them the way it's up to the core, who has been through it.
Yes, it is, but it's can they remain a little calm when it gets a little bit
You're right.
Dicey in the playoffs.
Just play defense until you something happens.
You cannot replicate the next 12 games for them like you can what they're going to feel in a Stanley Cup best of seven series when things are constantly on the line. But I like the fact that he keeps going to them. He puts them in key situations. So there might be a level of expectation that they can just slide right into a playoff series and say, hey, you killed the penalty 2 weeks ago. You're great. There's no reason why you can't be great in this environment. But that's the tricky part is you're still asking guys that have never done it before to go out there and lead in many ways.
Is there any part of it where they are, like, the inexperience could be somewhat of an advantage, where it's like they're not feeling the scars of years past and they're kind of the young and dumb aspect? Like, I've always heard that argument, because is that stupid?
I think it's a great argument.
Like, I don't know. If you're going into the playoffs and you're, like, a guy that knows, they all know the history of the Leafs in the playoffs. So they're not
nothing
like
to lose.
But it's just, to me, they don't wear the scars of years past. And they're not brought in at the deadline with the pressures of being traded for a first-round pick to Toronto as saviors. They're just guys that are supporting. I don't know.
Yeah.
Sort of be so positive today, but it's just, you know, that's what I'm going for.
Nice.
I think it probably lends to who's the real leaders there, and we know it has to be Matthews and Marner.
Do they have any scars? I can't remember.
And Tavares.
They are a scar.
They're a human scar. Yeah.
I can only go from the fact that in 1994, we'd gone 54 years. You look around the room, and there's some failures there. And then every once in a while, you heard something from Kevin Lowe, and it's like, you can exhale. This guy's done it. He's won before. Messier's won before. We had a room full of Edmonton Oilers that have won before. When they tell you to calm down, you believe them, right?
They need Joel Edmondson to pipe up.
So,
Stanley Cup champion Joel Edmonds.
You know, are Matthews and Marner and Tavares ready now, if things get a little hairy, that their voices can carry in the dressing room? Yeah. Okay, they don't have a ton of experience, but they've got some thicker skin. And if they can lead the way, then it'll still be easier for McMahon and Holmberg and company to trust them.
Yep.
Yeah.
You earn the Stanley Cup. That's the only way you win.
Yeah, they've played 8 playoff rounds now, those guys. You would expect some experience. The other crazy thing to me is, like, you're keeping McMahon and Holmberg in the lineup. You know, they had 12 forwards the other night. Marner's got to go in. Yarncroft's got to go in. Reeves was out and could conceivably go in.
Yeah, they sat him both games against Carolina, I think, for...
There's no one there for him to...
And, I mean, they're just very blindingly fast.
Yeah. So, but the point is that, like, guys got to come out. And so McMahon and Holmberg played their way in. Robertson scores a goal the other night, but he's awful. I mean, I thought he had a bad game.
He did.
You know, so curious to know what their playoff lineup looks like. I just don't see him. He's a few guys out of the lineup to me before we see him.
And I think they probably would take Gregor out before they'd take Knies out. But to me, to me, it should be more of a conversation than it will be, I think.
Yeah, Knies hasn't been great, has he?
Okay. What have we gone? 23 minutes. We haven't mentioned
Carolina?
No.
Goalies.
Ilya.
Oh, my
Samsonov,
God. Oh, my God.
Who's done a great job of building up some cred between All-Star weekend and Saturday night with about, 6 minutes left in the third period?
What was that?
Can someone explain it to me?
He armed his arm a bit, and then it got armed, and he was... I don't know. His arm hurt. I don't know.
It's two times in the last 2 weeks where he left the ice, one at practice, one during game, where I thought his career was over.
But this happened last year 10 times.
It happens a lot.
And it happened in the second round.
And I think it annoys Sheldon Keefe. By the way, when asked about it.
Would you like to hear the clip?
Yes, if we have something.
We do have it. It's clip one.
Looks like he's going to be fine. Yep.
Happened?
I do. Yes.
What happened?
He got injured, and it's not anything near what it appeared or what I thought it might have been. I'm not going to give you too many details right now, but it looks like he'll be fine and won't miss any time.
That's as polite as you can get without saying, I have no idea what's going on with him.
He's fine.
Looks like he's going to be fine.
How is he fine?
you should have to say you're not fine when you
when you're basically telling everybody that, like, the injury and the pictures that we all saw together are like night and day apart.
Night and day. I don't know. Was there something more drastic? I don't know.
Hemisphere away.
So I think the implication we're all beating on the bush is he tends to be dramatic about tweaks. Fair?
Yeah.
Boy Who Cried Wolf a little bit?
It's now well beyond that, JB. It's, can we count on him when the chips are down that he won't disappear? That's what the players are asking themselves.
So you think
and each other.
It gives him an out if things aren't.
I don't know. Listen, and we had this conversation last night on the show, and like I'm not questioning if he's hurt or not, or if he's faking. That's him.
Something
bothered him.
Yes.
But it's now about like how durable can he be when you need him, and where's his break point for saying, I can hang in here. I will battle this. I won't let you guys down. I'm going to do everything that I can. And if they're going to carry me out, it's not to hear my coach 15 minutes later go, call me out. That's all Sheldon did in that clip we just heard. He called out his own goaltender. It's not what it appears. It's like your stupid rearview mirror in your car.
Well, what's he supposed to say, Kippy?
Who, Sheldon?
Yeah. He's hurt? Will we reevaluate him?
No. No, I, in all honesty, I think because we've seen this movie so many times, Sheldon did the appropriate thing.
Agree. Yeah.
Because if he's not honest, a little bit honest now, then he puts it off for tomorrow, the next day. No, just tell them it's not that bad.
You know, and teams do make assessments on players based on their likelihood of injury. Like, there's no doubt that teams were worried, Arizona, about Connor Timmins' ability to stay healthy.
Yep.
You know, there are players where you go, I don't know if that guy is...
Look what Colorado just did with Bowen Byram.
Yeah, they didn't think he's a bad player. They're betting against... I tell you what happened. The Leafs bet against the guy you mentioned, Mason Marchman. They didn't think he could stay healthy. That's why they traded him. So it happens, and so it's reasonable to suggest a team is looking at a guy on their own team going, we're not sure if this guy's going to be available to us.
And if you're the coach, I don't know if there's any credence to this, but if you're starting a guy in a playoff game, like and Ilya Samsonov is 100% in the conversation to start game one, like that is not over by any stretch.
Have that.
But, I mean, you're not going to be thinking about this in the back of your mind that, like, he's leaving a game and you're going to have to throw Joe Wall ice cold into a big game because he left for I don't know what reason. Like, how is that not playing into your mind when you're making your decisions?
I do think if playoffs started tonight, Ilya Samsonov starts. Not my choice.
I think
they would start.
Even if he starts, you have now that seed of doubt. Okay.
Exactly.
And that's not a good thing for the bench. Or any Leaf fan out there that after every save, does he get up right away? Mm. Does he take 10 seconds, 5 seconds? Are there theatrics on him, the way he looks, the body language? Every time that happens, it takes the focus off the team and it puts it on him. And I'm not sure if you want to start that way either, JB.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd like to think that with a dozen games to go, there's still plenty more to fight for if you're goaltenders.
Oh, yeah.
But I think he opened up a window Saturday night.
He opens a window up, and then Wall pitches
for Joseph
948
Wall to
or whatever he was.
Right back in and steal his net.
I think you're bang on.
Yeah.
Like, it's true. And then have Wall go out. And you got to think that the way Wall played yesterday, he felt it. Like I didn't love the first goal, I'll say, but then he, you know, the second one, he can't do anything. Then he just locked in.
Yeah.
He was unbelievable.
Odd man rushes all night.
And he's a competitive guy. He wants to be the starter. He wants to start the playoffs. How can you not love that if you're the coach and make you want to start him more than the other guy? Anyways.
It's all up in the air still. Very much up in the air.
Okay. We'll take a quick break here and we come back. We'll pick up our conversation on Joseph Wall and his efforts last night against Carolina, including a tough start, but finish rather strongly for the Toronto Maple Leafs, so plenty still more to chew on regarding the Toronto Maple Leafs on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We're just getting started. Don't go away.
Covering the Blue Jays from an analytical perspective, Jays Talk Plus with Blake Murphy. Be sure to subscribe and download Jays Talk on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Frederik Andersen stopped 31 shots last night for a sixth straight victory as the Hurricanes topped Sammy's Toronto Maple Leafs. Sammy?
Yes, Skippy?
Did you not watch last night's game and think, Freddie's going to blow it? Freddie's going to blow it.
For my narrative train, I was praying for it, of course, and for my beloved Toronto Maple Leafs, I was hoping, but...
If he was in a Leaf uniform and that was a playoff game, would he have blown it?
Yes. Unequivocally, yes.
That took you all but a split second to answer.
I will say, when he's on, there are a few... more aesthetically pleasing goaltenders in the league than him.
He was good.
Well, he was flopping around a couple times. Couple pucks kind of got in behind him a little bit that didn't end up in the net. But, yeah, I mean, we can have a quick conversation on Carolina here before we move on to more Leaf stuff. But to me, they are – they. If I had to set the betting lines, to me, they are close to a prohibitive favorite to win the Cup. You know, there's a couple teams in the West. You can talk about, I guess, Colorado or – whoever you want, but man, the way they snap it around, they are impressive.
They have a lot of forwards, a lot of forward depth, very good defense. If their goaltending holds, they're going to be tough to beat. They're not particularly tough,
no.
Which you may say is a playoff question mark, but I just thought the Leafs on a back-to-back with travel, with Carolina rested, getting to the inside, like to in front of Freddie, you know, there's no uncontested looks. It was
and you guys
a lot
brought,
of traffic.
You guys brought it up a little bit during the intermission, especially Kipper with the Nylander play. But it felt like so many times, and then probably a lot of tired brain, that they would get to like the half wall and they just throw a pass into the middle.
Hope play.
Because they couldn't get to the middle at all. And they're just like, please let this connect with somebody.
For sure. Saw that too.
Couple of feelings I had from last night's contest was, number one, another feel, back-to-back nights of kind of playoff intensity. So the physicality that you had out of Edmonton, and then playing a team that might be favorites, one of the favorites to end up in a Stanley Cup final in Carolina. And good on the Leafs. It could have been ugly early, especially with the odd man rushes, but they hung in there and they gave themselves at least a chance against a very good hockey club.
Yeah.
So I think if there's one thing that the Leafs can take out of this weekend is that in the playoffs, you get off to a bad start. You want to give up half a dozen odd man rushes. You don't get the chance to hang in there. You don't get the chance to save the game off of bad starts when you're not ready against a very good hockey club. And that, file that away because it's coming back in the first round.
Yeah, they got away with last night. You know, Carolina probably should have put them away. They weren't very sharp on a lot of those rushes, and, you know, you have the Leafs D some credit there. But, yeah, a few too many looks against. But the fact that they hung around there against a good team and still were in it at the end of the game, you know, a pretty good weekend. Yeah. You say Edmonton, Carolina... this weekend, back-to-back, you wouldn't have expected four points out of that.
Listen, Carolina's got a $7 million third-pair defenseman in Orlov.
Yeah.
You know? And Chatfield. Remember that name, UFA, guys.
Yeah.
Jalen Chatfield, because no one really talks about this guy, and I think he's sneaky good as a right-handed D. Could look good in blue and white
next
year.
Yeah, I would like that. They're just rangy defensemen. Like, think of Slavin. Burns is huge.
Yeah.
Like, long arms. They're just getting in passing lanes. Did you guys want to talk about how the power player penalty kill? Do you guys want to talk about special teams again?
Do you guys want Keefe on the Canes or on the game?
He was very sour last night. So get ready for some short clips.
Okay,
so,
well, let's do them both then.
Let's start the overview of the Canes game.
All right.
Sheldon, what do you think the difference was here today?
Puck went in off our skate and into our net.
Oh, thanks, man. Grumpy. All right, that was the difference in the overview. Let's hear his thoughts on the Canes, clip 7.
playing against one of the best defensive teams in the league, they're going to make it hard on you. We had more than enough chances to score, well, more than one tonight.
Okay. Thanks, Sheldon.
Yep.
He's a little tired, too.
He was. Back to back. Realistically, you probably don't sleep much as a coach. After that Edmonton game, you cut video on the flight down there, you go to bed at whatever, 2 in the morning.
I don't want to, I'm not building in any excuses or not. You know, you lost the game, but like, those are hard at this time of the year to get on a plane after a very physical, emotional game against the Oilers. Mm-hmm. You get in 1:30. I don't know, sometimes you don't fall asleep. You know, you wake up, and like, that start really had a feel of guys
weren't
just
going right
not,
away.
Not feeling it.
The glutes weren't firing.
They weren't firing.
No.
And they did. They found their legs.
Yeah.
In the second.
But to your point, it was a lot of individual stuff. Like, you know, it didn't seem not as much passing of the puck. You saw Willie going, trying to do his own thing a number of times. You saw
Willie's got a. It's going to get tighter for Willie, and the things that kind of worked earlier in the season might not. He's just, for me, it's not that you want to take that creativity away from him because he's such a special player when it comes to coming through the neutral zone or pulling a 90-degree angle cut into the middle or whatever. But, man, he's got to be really careful from here on in.
Well, I mean, after he turned that one over, was it against Boston, high in the zone, he turned it over two or three more times in the ensuing three or four games. And then even last night, he cut through his own end as the last man back, and it worked. It was a good play, but he just has no risks meter at all.
The conscience isn't there.
No, he's just like, this is, I am 51% likely to do this. Don't care what happens if I don't, because it's more likely to succeed than not, and he goes for it.
So a lot of text on the text line about TJ Brody.
Brody,
people
back in.
Really want to talk about TJ Brody. Yeah. It seems to be, I would say, the dominant topic on the text line. We haven't got to it yet.
TJ Brody. Do we want to start with Sheldon Keefe? Is he going to say anything?
It's a quick one. I don't
know. Yeah, let's
give us number 9.
What'd you make of how TJ played in his first game back here?
He was fine.
Oh, my God. He really didn't say anything.
Can we please save
if
that?
Don't have
fine.
Anything nice to say. Don't say.
Can we get that one more time, Derek?
Much at all.
He was fine.
Fine.
Do you feel any differently?
I would have left him out.
Me too.
One more.
You know, I didn't agree with you, and then I put some thought into it, and I now agree with you. It's not really a weekend off if you got to travel and then play anyway.
It's not a missing start where you don't have 2 weeks to kind of still get there, or
Ben
3 weeks.
Ben's been so
or
good
a month.
Too. Yeah, you know, Benoit's such an emotional.
If we're talking about the last week of the season and you're like, I got to get this guy going because we can't win without him, I'll understand that.
Yeah.
But 12 games to go after last night, could have easily just said, one more to think about it.
Yeah. Give me the whole weekend.
And I like Benoit Saturday night. I know a couple of hiccups there, but man, oh man, that guy's just gives everything.
He plays with his heart.
But he can skate a puck up. He can get it in deep, and he hammered a few Oilers along the wall.
Yeah, he's got some emotion to his game. Brody has no emotion to his game.
And like pulling him out of the lineup.
Yeah.
You've mentioned like they can't win without Brody. Like, are we sure that statement's true?
No.
It's gotten to a point here where
Tree doesn't love him.
Certainly didn't, like, God, I feel bad. I didn't miss him a whole lot.
Nope. He only played 17 minutes against Carolina. It's his lowest of the year.
We've been pretty positive up until now.
Yeah.
Okay? But
which frees us up now to do our favorite thing.
But there's a sense that I can feel with Sheldon or Brendan Shanahan or Brad Treliving that I like our chances better if we can get the old TJ Brody back.
Yeah, they keep hammering away.
Because he's still a notch up above skill level than what I perceive as a bunch of 5s, 6s, and 7s.
I agree. I see it.
Okay. So I get that part. And love Joel Edmondson. but he also happened to play the most minutes he's played all year. Could not play a game like Saturday night at all for the Washington Capitals, who are perceived as a much worse team than the Leafs.
Although they're now like the hottest team in the league, and Ovi can't stop scoring, but that's a point of the National Hour.
Yes, yeah, exactly. But like, can Joel now be a 22-minute guy and hammer the other team's best players every night?
No.
Can McCabe...
We talked about availability with Edmondson. He's a guy who gets hurt.
Yeah. Can McCabe be Saturday night's guy every other night?
Yes.
He can?
Yep.
Okay, I'm not sure about that still.
Yep.
I thought he was a little tired last night, as we just said,
yep,
for obvious reasons. But sometimes when that happens, I see a lot of pucks go up the middle of the ice that shouldn't go up the middle of the ice.
He made terrible puck decisions yesterday.
Well, that happens when you're a little tired or a little weary.
Definitely.
So that's where TJ Brody, when he's good or at the top of his game, can alleviate some of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they want to try to get back.
That's, I think, well said. You know, can you find that version of the guy who's good at defending the blue line and puck retrievals? Mm. Keep them out of our zone. Get us back going the other way is something he has historically done well. This year, not the case.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
Historically.
He just hasn't. So I think he's going to play in the playoffs, clearly.
Start.
But I don't think he should be immune from the press box.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really do feel that there's going to be a time where you need to mix him out. Like, he needs to kind of be given a bit of a rest here and there. And I feel bad for him. He get immediate minus one last night on McCabe trying to make
and shaking his head, right?
Yeah, but like, why does he wear any of that? He made a perfectly fine pass behind the net to his D partner, who then tried to between the legs back pass net into the slot. It's like, that wasn't the smartest play, but anyways.
Power play. I'm almost back to Morgan than the lily pad.
Yeah, me too.
Said the same thing last night on Leafs Talk.
I actually like that it's terrible right now. You know, it never stays great for too long. I just want it to be...
Your pen just went for a ride.
I know.
You are banking on it being hot at the right time.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, gosh.
Well, listen, no one's hot for, 7 months of a regular season. They had the best February in the NHL by miles.
But it's not looking... Like, it'd be great if they, to your point, if it looked great, but it's just not going in. So you wait for that in the playoffs.
We do not agree.
You know what, Kip? I think there's a couple places they really miss Mitch Marner. And one of the biggest is entering the zone on the power play. Like, he makes a couple of moves and pulls up.
Well, they do that drop back to him.
Yeah.
And he gets it in. It feels like his
rate. They get it set up so often. And I think as Leaf fans, you take it for granted how often Mitch Marner and Austin get it set up. Without Marner, to me, that they're not getting set up. And to me, I don't see them with a ton of ozone time to even evaluate what Liljegren does for two reasons. They don't get it set up, and Liljegren takes one-timers before everyone's set up, and then they don't win the puck recovery.
When push comes to shove, boys, when Marner's back and they're heading into the playoffs, it's going to be Marner and Riley and Tavares on the top unit.
Which is
fine.
The same one that you went back to, that you changed with Bertuzzi.
Yeah.
And now he's now back to where he was prior to
They got him going.
The change.
Yeah.
They got him going.
And you put him back.
Yeah.
And now you're just ready to put him back to where before. Go back to the place where you weren't successful.
Well, I think of it as like a defibrillator. Or, like give him a... Well, jump start. And okay, you remember that? Your heart's beating again? Okay, go back and be alive. Like, if he goes back and dies again, maybe you got to do it again.
Well, I'm just at such a loss for what they do. Like, I'm at the point with Borny where I'm just like, put the normal guys out there and hope the hell it gets hot. Like,
bounces. 22% against Tampa or whatever it was in the series they won last year. It's not inconceivable that those guys can do that, you know?
But okay, maybe. Let's go to Sheldon Keefe on the power play, Sammy, and then we'll get your thoughts.
Uh-oh.
After Sheldon.
Playing against one of the league's best penalty kills, they make it hard on you. We had some chances and didn't go in for us, but they don't give you much.
So can you play clip 7 for us again, Derek, on the Canes?
playing against one of the best defensive teams in the league, they're going to make it hard on you. We had more than enough chances to score well more than one tonight.
And then the clip on the power play, please.
Playing against one of the league's best penalty kills, they make it hard on you. We had some chances.
Are those different clips? Yeah.
No, they're not. They're the exact same ones.
Different clips.
Oh, my God.
Did he have a dinner or something to get to? Or...
Pull the string. He only had six quotes ready to go.
There's
for
a
the...
snake in my boots.
Okay, we're going to play them same time. Both clips. Same time.
Well, that's talent.
Are we doing that?
Yeah, we're going to try.
Oh, my God.
Playing against one of the best penalty kills. I mean, puck went in off our skate.
Oh, no, now we're all screwed up. Derek got too horned up.
Carolina.
Nice effort, though.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Horrible execution.
Best penalty kills. We had some chances. We had more than enough chances to score, well, more than one tonight.
Almost, wow. Not bad. Almost lined up.
Not bad. Wow. Good comeback.
Carolina, 85.3% penalty kill on the year is second best in the entire NHL. So he's not wrong. It's a good PK. They got good D. They got good forwards at work hard. So,
yeah. Win a lot of battles. Leafs forwards don't win a lot of battles in the penalty kill.
Who's supposed to be their killers?
I don't know.
Jake Gensel's got quite the record, eh, since coming over.
And was it?
What is it?
I don't know. 15 goals for, none against on the ice.
Yeah, he's been on the ice for 15 for, none against.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's good 15, ROI for
15
Carolina.
15 for, none against?
That's his time in Carolina. So
seems far. Like you probably should have got a first round pick for that kind of guy.
I think.
Well, they did.
I think shut.
Well, they might go to the final. So yeah.
Joseph Wall shutting down the penalty shot.
Yeah.
I think was a huge boost, too, for him personally.
Dude, there was three or four times in that game where we said, if they come back, remember that save. You know, mm-hmm. where he made those ones that kind of kept them hanging around.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Penalty shot was one of them.
We assume that Samsonov's okay. How are you for Joseph Wall now starting how many games of a dozen here, Sammy?
I got to tell you, I'm going wall-wall this week.
Wall-to-wall-wall?
Wall-wall Saturday night, Sammy.
Wall-to-wall.
Yeah.
Really?
He looked awesome. And you want to get one of these guys hot. That's the best goaltending performance there's been for a while. He looked awesome.
Since his last one?
Tradesies. Just trade him off for me still.
Go wall on Tuesday, wall on Thursday, Saturday night, Sammy. Two in a row. Wall to wall.
This week it's they have Washington and who's the other game?
Jersey first. Jersey.
So the Leafs play the Florida Panthers twice more this season, and they play the Tampa Bay Lightning twice more this season.
But those last two aren't going to mean anything.
Wow, what if they do? They could mean something either way, pal.
Yeah, we said that last year, and then the Leafs had like a absolute gong show against the Lightning. Remember it was like the brawl game where Stamkos and Matthews fought? Like it was crazy.
That was not the playoffs?
No, that was
Elliot
before.
Friedman last night talked about what a win could do for the Leafs and a Florida loss to Philadelphia, but that didn't happen. Do you now look at the standings and go without that switch last night of wins that they are destined for one of two teams?
You know, I don't know that they're fully destined. I mean, you got the Lightning that are behind them by 4 points, so I'm not, and they play them twice. You know, a couple of games in hand on Boston. Like, yeah, they're probably not catching anyone, and they might get caught.
They might just end up playing the Panthers, even if they drop out.
Yeah, you're right. Finish, wild card one and get the Panthers still.
It's tight, but I don't know. It doesn't matter to me. They're just going to be an underdog against literally anyone, so whatever.
Bruins are not good.
Okay, buddy.
And we are back to square one in the goaltender controversy.
If it was day one of the season, going into game one, do you feel any different than game one of the season about who should be their playoff starter?
Yeah.
Who did you feel then? And who do you feel
now? Wall.
That's not different at all. That's the same.
Oh, okay. Well, I screwed up the question. I misunderstood.
I think they go with the calm one. The one that looks calmer.
Yeah, that's Wall then.
Okay. Our thanks to nobody who joined us.
Thanks to nobody.
In this hour. It was all JB and Sammy. I was just along for the ride. In the next hour, we're going to welcome in Luke Gazdick, who is fresh off his Hockey Night in Canada debut.
Debut indeed.
Yeah, that was fun for him. We'll get his thoughts on that, the Oilers, and so much more as we continue Real Kipper and Bourne after these words.